Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, it's Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, coming to you live from the NAMM Show here in Anaheim, California, with our first episode from the NAMM Show of Talking Up Music Education. Thank you for joining us. We're here at Facebook Live. Later, we'll be up at Talking Up Music Education, our podcast. Please let people know that we're here and that we'd love to have them, invite them onto our broadcast here because black violins in the house.
Yeah.
It's so great. Kent Marcus and Will Baptiste, welcome back to the NAMM Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us again.
Always great to be here. Let's do a little reminiscing about the first time you were at the NAMM Show. Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
And we were out in a booth in the plaza
It
was raining.
Right.
We will never forget those moments.
Yeah. There's a stage and there's music going on in the background.
Yeah. Well, you guys have graduated. Now we have a room here.
We've got our little podcast booth, and you also that year played for our grand rally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You brought down the house for that.
That was fun. Mm-hmm.
And this year, they are opening the NAMM Show on our Grand Plaza tonight, right?
Yes, and
that
it is
be a good one.
It's even more grand than last time, too.
the grander of all, right? First of all, you're doing a set tonight. What is your standard gig now as you guys are on the road? You know, weeks and weeks of the year. Right. What are you doing? What's your gig that you're going to share with us tonight?
Well, you know, we play 90 minutes of fury. It's basically, you know, classical with hip hop, and we have all kind of things, you know, smashed in between, whether it's mixing like Bach and, you know, Notorious B.I.G., or we'll mix, you know, Cardi B and Mozart, you know, or whatever. Right. And we just kind of try to do something that's always a really large net that we're trying to cast, and we're trying to showcase that you can do anything that you want to do. Just think about things in a different perspective, and try to always chase your dreams and your passion, and do what you love, because as you'll see tonight, we love what we do.
Yeah. How big is the band? I want to talk about the style genre a little bit, but what's the instrumentation?
Well, it's violin, viola, obviously, and I do a lot of vocal. I'm singing a lot more now. So, and there's a drummer, Nat Stokes, and DJ SB. So it's definitely very, very hip hop. It's very live. It's not quiet. It's kind of loud, but I think it's fun. But I think we approach it in a way that everyone can relate and everyone can understand.
So it's kind of the ultimate crossover.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you know, it's like if we had to give two, three words to black violin, it's sort of the ultimate crossover band, right?
Yeah,
because you're both classically trained,
right?
Right? I mean, you're cranking it out, right? You can spell Paganini,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
And then you went in and just created this genre of you know, when you hear the concert or the gig, or it's you know, you're going to hear Bach, and then you're going to hear Bach taken out.
Right,
a place you never knew Bach could go. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. It's interesting when you say crossover, because it's like as we get older, it's like, well, which side are we crossing over from? You know, we have a new album that we just finished, and in the album, it's like we have a song that we did with it's a Serenade for Strings. It's a Dvorak piece, but what we did is we took it and we were like really, really classical with it. It flows just like Dvorak and everything, and then we put the beat to it now, and it's like, you know, we're thinking 15 years ago we probably would have just chopped it, sampled it, and it would have been more hip hop. And now it's sort of like, well, we're more classical almost, and bringing hip hop to classical. So it's like the word crossover is so interesting when you said that. It's just like, well, where are we crossing over?
And that's probably an overused term in a way. Maybe the term blend or, you know, seamless, right?
Mary, you know,
right? That you're putting it out there, and it's like it's just really high quality music.
Yes, thank you.
That's the experience I've had. It's like whoa, I never knew those pieces could fit together.
That's it.
But it's a wonderful. Now, before we jump in a little bit, I was telling Kat that I wanted to talk about, you just got off a jazz cruise.
Right.
You shared a bill with Take Six.
We did.
Right?
Yes, they actually, we did two shows. They opened up for us and then we opened up for them. So it's interesting because it's an a cappella group, and they had some really groovy tunes in there where they kind of moved and the beat was hitting a little bit, but we're definitely very different from Take Six, but it makes sense. It doesn't, it's not necessarily odd for us to come after Take Six or vice versa.
I would also say, though, I mean, if all of us are sitting around the table, and we will do that someday,
yes,
okay, we'll have everybody around, but I would also say that Take Six has really great example of that blend crossover thing.
For sure.
Because you talk about Ubach, I mean, on their recent album, they did the classic choral Hallelujah that every high school choir will sing.
Right.
And they did it, you know, kind of strict classical tempo, but then all of a sudden all this jazz stuff just comes like out of it and you go, I never knew that could happen.
Right. Yeah. Incredible arrangements, definitely.
Yeah,
they performed that actually on the cruise. And like, you know,
that's like a Bach for choirs.
It is.
I mean,
it
it's like the standard repertoire.
It is. And I think that's an apt comparison where it's just like, you know, they are definitely blending genres in the same way. I think their genres are more classical and jazz, like if you look at like their two outside ones, you know. And boy, with their arrangements, I love them.
They're killer.
They're so good.
They're killer arrangements. So do you guys do all your own arranging? Do you do all your derivatives? I mean, because you start with like a standard chart, right? And then are you doing all that? Are you gonna
pretty much? I mean, for the most part. I mean, with this new album that we worked on, we're pretty much doing most of the arrangement. The cover stuff, like the Serenade that we did, obviously it's
Dvorak.
It's Dvorak. So
like it's Hallelujah. I mean, it's like there's that bass.
Right. Yeah. But we definitely tweak it to make it fit us. And I think for us, it's important for us to, particularly when it comes to strings, that we're being who we are and being ourselves. So it's important that we approach it the way that we would, you know, because that's how we've always done it. And we've had success doing it that way. And but we obviously would, we work with producers and arrangers, we do tend to kind of like see what their direction is. And it's always interesting their approach to it because it's very different the way that we would do it, you know. So we like
so
to collaborate.
Feedback.
Yeah.
Right. The whole artist, you know, sit down and tell us.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Right?
And I think it's good for just the growth of us, you know what I'm saying? And it just kind of lends itself to just like the net that we try to just kind of like throw and, you know, see what else we can grab, you know, see what else.
So with all the touring, how do you work that in? I mean, how long did it take you to develop? This is which number of album that you just, is the album? What's the name of it? Where can we get it? Okay. Come on, let's go.
So this is like the album process. A lot of people don't even recognize how the process of an album works. It's like a movie. Like you know, that movie that's coming out this summer, they shot it like 18 months ago. So it's like it's that kind of thing where we just finished it last month. We don't even have a title yet. You know, we're going back and forth about what we want it to be called. The overall energy of it, like when we walked in the studio, it probably took us, you know, to actually record it, probably took us about maybe 3 weeks, but it was like a year of like kind of setup and
of
trying different things, incubating.
Right.
And, hey, like what about this Dvorak piece? What about this thing? And then we get in the studio and actually actualize it. It took about 3 weeks to do it and another 4 weeks to mix it. And the overall vibe of the album is we wanted to, you know, like the thing we basically pasted on the wall during the studio was hope. And we wanted to make an album that was hopeful but not preachy, you know, talked about why you need hope and, you know, how to get hope and what happens once you get it. And wanted to make an album that kind of that did that and kind of laid a bed of just, I need to hear this every now and then to make sure that I'm reconnecting with this hopeful feeling that I need.
That's something that was important to both of you.
It was.
Right?
It's authentic to you.
It is.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely, and our music lends itself to it because a lot of times we're after a show, the responses that we get from people, you know, we feel like we have a responsibility, and we're not forcing it. Like we're not trying to necessarily be the group that just talks about hope or anything. This is us. This is who we are. You know what I mean? Like I rather do something that I love, and at the same time, being able to uplift and inspire people at the same time is just like the icing on the cake, you know what I mean? So
yeah, and I think the, you know, kind of deliberate choice you've made not to sort of, I see you shouldn't be preachy. I think that's really important. I think, you know, hope is aspirational.
Hope is
something that you feel.
Right.
You know, intellectually, I'm just going to be hopeful today. I'm going to take my hope, you know, my hope medicine. I mean, it has to kind of, you know, seeps in.
It does.
Right?
As long as it's from a real place. I think that's what matters. Because I think for when Kev said not necessarily try to be preachy, I mean, I think that's what it is. Not trying to force it. As long as it's coming from a real place, people will it's going to absorb, you know what I'm saying? And that's what, it's more important than anything. If it's coming from real actual place of just circumstances that I personally have gone through and the way that I'm singing and the way I'm playing, it's coming across that way. You know, right. I think people are going to absorb it and take it for what it is.
So I guess one of my question about where the album comes from, obviously it's the next version of your life experience, right?
It is.
I mean, pretty much.
Which version of what number album is this?
So this is our fourth.
I was going to say fourth.
This is our fourth album, yes, that we're, you know, and it should come out sometime this summer.
Okay, well, keep us posted.
Yes, we definitely will. You know, you can check us out.
We're your fan cub hub. Okay, make sure people know.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah, and you know, basically, yeah, that was the whole thing. It's about trying to make this something that, like, you know, it's not a snack, it's a meal. It's more to it, you know, and we're really, really, really proud of it. And we can't wait for the world to hear it. Nam will hear three of the songs tonight.
Oh, great. So, that's, you know, wonderful to know.
This is the first stop of our Impossible Tour. It's the brand new tour. And it's really about, you know, showing the world that the impossible is possible. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of the album and this tour.
Yeah, you know, just before we were sitting down for our podcast and our Facebook Live here at NAMM Foundation, live from the NAMM Show, we were so gracious enough to meet with a bunch of young people that are visiting here at the NAMM Show, and they're asking you about that, how you find that authentic voice, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's do a little origin story here of Black Violin. Two young men sitting in high school orchestra together.
That's it.
And the name of that wonderful teacher, remember?
Mr. Miles. Yes,
Mr. Miles in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And then you both got scholarshiped into music education, music programs at Florida State.
Florida State and FIU.
Florida International,
okay.
Yep.
So you got music scholarships, remember, mom and dad, you can get a music scholarship,
yep,
right?
It's possible.
Right? It's not just all about, you know, throwing long balls, right?
Right?
Exactly. And then something evolved, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what was the step into more personal ownership of that creative process?
Well, when I was talking to the kids outside, and they were so, I was inspired talking to them, you know, hearing their stories a little bit before we spoke. What I was telling them is that, like, for us, it wasn't even the fact that we blend hip hop and classical, like, you know, that's just sort of something that we naturally did. The thing that I'm most, I guess, proud of is that we recognized the response from people when we did it, and then we kept doing it and kept trying to hone it and kind of mold it. And today, you know, you'll see tonight at the show, it's sort of the 22 years later after we started.
Is it 22 years?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we met 22 years ago now. And it's like, you know, so it's like, this is sort of the what happens when it kind of molds and it becomes its own thing, you know? And it's all about really, you know, finding our voice. And when we noticed it is when we really kind of, you know, kept honing it and kind of putting it together. And then now here we are, you know?
Yeah. It's always evolving too. I think initially it's something that you notice and you find, but then you just keep evolving. I mean, that's just what, as an artist, as a person, as anything, whatever it is, you can never forget that there's always room to learn something. There's always room to grow. And I think that's unique thing with us. Like, I'm always learning. We love collaborating. We love talking to people because I want to learn. I want to know what you know? And if I can teach you something, then great. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's a huge part of it as well. Just always evolving, always growing.
So as you do this, you know, that I always love to talk about the artistic process, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just love it. It's like, how do you do that? I mean, do you document the process? I mean, do you journal? You know, how do you choreography the process so you don't lose the good idea?
Right.
Or
well,
that's the
beauty of it, I think. Well, for me at least, I love to be surprised at what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And obviously you can plan it. You can kind of like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And in a lot of cases, it's important to plan. But I like the randomness of just like, oh, that's cool. Oh, who's coming? Who's in town? Oh, tell them to come by. Oh, and it just, you never know. Magic happens. Like things. So I like that aspect of it. And, you know, just collaborate with different people and they bring an idea to the table. And what we bring to that idea can completely transform that particular song. So we're definitely not conformed to any way in terms of being creative. We just like to just like wherever it goes, we go.
Yeah. And it's like a blank canvas. I mean, like, you know, it's so true. Cause Will said, it's just like, it's like, I listened to the album actually on the flight yesterday and I'm still surprised by it, you know, and even though we made it and it's just kind of evolved, you know, in its own way. But like, you know, I think what we tried to do with this particular project, we had a whiteboard up and we had,
oh, you did some planning.
Yeah. Well, right. You know, throughout it, we'll like, you know, jot down like different ideas or like, hey,
bullet points.
Yeah, right. Like, hey, this song, that song, or you know, different things we wanted to kind of get across. And then from there, it's just sort of like, it's a blank canvas and here's some paint, we're just painting and then we'll see. And at the end, yeah, we stand back, we're like, yeah, I think that's gonna work, right, you know. Right. It's like,
also sense that you've been successful and you've been well organized and you have a few people around to make sure other things are taken care of.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean let's, you know, that's the beauty of it too.
That's important too.
You've earned the space that you're in,
right
because now you have some other structures, like you know, some managers and some other folks that are helping that make sure that you get to go to that space.
Yeah, exactly. Right? We've talked about it before. It's just like, you know, it's like this year, last year we worked pretty hard, but we really didn't work hard at all, you know, because now there's tour manager Evan, our agent back there Larry, our manager Jared,
the folks in the back,
you know,
of the room,
the folks in the back in the room that kind of make life easier for us, so that, you know, we can wake up in the morning, we could talk to Mary and for, you know, for
well,
a
you
podcast.
Know, I have to, you know, really thing. I have to really say I don't do what you do, but I am so blessed to have a staff that, you know, make sure that this room was ready for us when we came in, you know, and I'm our producer for Talking Music Education, Claire Krieger-Bowes, and all the, you know, the fact that, and our wonderful support from our podcast company and our Facebook. I mean, it's just, we never forget.
Yeah.
That we can't do it alone.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes life so much easier.
And then you can go on stage and you go, oh, what's in my head I want to do today?
Exactly. Nice and fresh to get on stage. So it's great. It's that's one of the good things about it. I mean, and you know, sometimes people think that that's just kind of how it starts. They're like, oh, you know, you've always had this. And it's like, no, you know, years ago, we were managing ourselves. Will wake up in the morning, drive the minivan to the next show. Like we load in at the end of the show. I'm counting the merch. And, you know, that's how we started. And now we've, you know, been blessed enough to realize enough success that we can kind of, you know, have other people that, you know, we have do that. And but it didn't start like that, you know.
The hard work, you know, I mean, way back 1,000 years ago when I was a classical flutist and studying with some very important people. Mm. One of them at Juilliard said, Julius Baker said, it's not talent. You know, it's 1% talent and 99% hard work.
Right,
it's including,
true.
You know, getting the chops together,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And then also the work of the business,
of
right?
Course,
if
absolutely.
You guys hadn't put in those miles, you would have never...
We wouldn't have survived long enough to know, to realize the success. You know, that's how it is.
Right.
And, you know, I'm so thankful that we do know how to balance our books, or we do know how to look at contracts and, you know, set up certain things. And now, you know, I'm also thankful that we don't have to do it as much anymore.
Yeah, and you're helping other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that when we look forward, we want you to come back, think of the NAMM show as sort of a part of your universe. So you got to touch every now and then.
I love
okay?
it.
Definitely.
Promise
definitely.
Us that.
We promise.
But we need to have you engage also with our university program, our Gen Next program, as Christian did, your buddy in Take
right.
Six, Christian
right.
Dentley. Is he a second tenor or first tenor?
I don't remember.
He's one of those. I think he's one of the high voices.
Definitely the one of high. Even at least second.
And it turns out that Christian Dentley of Take Six went to high school with these two guys in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
What was, there was something in the water.
Right.
There was something in the suntan lotion.
Yeah, right.
SFP. There's
SFP talent.
You know, musical, Circle of Fists. Circle of Fists. Suntan lotion.
Yeah, I like
right?
that one. Yeah.
Shouts out to Dilla High School.
Yep.
That's, you know, never underestimate the value of school music, right?
Yeah,
oh,
never.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here.
If you guys hadn't.
The teachers as well.
Yeah.
If you guys hadn't bumped into it. You walked in through that door when you were 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. So you've been involved with the Turnaround Arts Program when it was still under the Obama administration.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And then now it's transferred over to the Kennedy Center.
Right, right.
And your school is at home.
Yes.
Right.
Tell us what you're doing with the school.
So our school is Bethune-Cookman College, and we're kind of like the ambassadors, the Turnaround around Arts Ambassadors for this school. And we get to go there. And thankfully, we got the school that's right in our district. So it's like, you know, 10 minutes.
When you go home, you get to.
So when we go home, we can go right over there. There is a really good string program there, and there always has been one. And it's funny because we chose that school because A, it's close, and we wanted to have a school that we can like literally touch all the time. B, we used the school, we went to the school before, and we shot one of our videos, it's called Triumph, at that school maybe 7-8 years ago.
Right.
And we used students at the school at the time and had them in the video, and we shot it in the orchestra room at the school. So it just was a really natural fit, and we had been really good friends with the string teacher since. And you know, since then we've had our welcome at the school, and we had a new song called Dreamer that we did a video for and released it. It was in a couple of campaigns. It was in a Bose commercial last year, and it was also in a American Family Insurance commercial, still going actually right now. And that song is called Dreamer, and we shot a video for it. Then like a week later, the kids loved the song so much that they shot a video for it, and they learned how to play Dreamer. And then they sent it to us, like, you know, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, the beginning of the school year.
Right.
And then we posted it, and everyone loved it. And Bose loved it so much that they ended up donating a PA system to them.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like we're able to like go into a school that we have a strong connection with. It's the feeder school for our middle school and our high school, which have both since stopped having string programs,
which we have to work
on.
Yeah,
but it's so good that the feeder school is still very strong. So we said, let's go back into this feeder school, make sure we keep it up, and then now hopefully next year we'll get a sixth grade class into the middle school, and then hopefully 6 years from now we can graduate them from the high school that we.
Well, I'm serious about helping with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and getting a NAM member in that community, which we know involved with this as well, because it, we have to go in and create some pressure.
Right.
And,
that's what it is.
And so we want to, let's, we have a project now.
Yes, we do.
Right.
Okay. We can call Christian too.
Yeah,
right. Of course. Exactly.
Right. And it's not just about, you know, you guys are showing up and doing remarkable things, but we also need the public school system to say, we're going to include it in our curriculum for
kids. Exactly. That's the important part.
That's the key. And also too, I think the community and the parents, I think they have to understand the importance of the arts. And I think, I'm not sure that we do enough to educate the parents. You know what I mean? I think if it's anything else, whether it's football or basketball, I think the parents are, they're more aggressive in terms of like, no, you're not shutting this down, you know?
That's right.
And I think the parents can be instrumental in organizing and letting the school system understand and let them know, like, you need to add this to the curriculum,
yeah,
you know?
So we're going to find a time when you guys aren't on the road. That's the first time. So between now and the end of the school year there, unless it's a year-round school, I mean, let's really find and bring in the Turnaround Arts team too, because our work through the NAM Foundation is about building local coalitions and the role of local communities in making sure that these programs are there for kids. Parents are important. School leadership is really important. You know, artist influencers like you guys out there, you're right there. And this is a story that we could tell too, right?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, bring back the middle school instrumental music program.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's not reasonable.
I think it's really important, and it's one of our real goals right now is to try to be able to make that happen. And, you know, luckily with Turnaround Arts, we're kind of, you know, hoping that we're making the first steps and trying to kind of plant the seeds for it. And, you know, hopefully with you guys' help, we can kind of keep it moving.
And now we need some stepwide advocacy at work.
Right.
And that's, again, you know, those are my chops and our chops at the NAM Foundation.
Yeah.
Where those, that's the help that we're helping, helping our communities realize.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what are we in for tonight? We're going to have so how many smoke machines got? And what's the light array?
Yeah,
and do we have any disco balls yet?
I don't know. I don't know. We don't want to give too much away as far as that.
I'm just trying to share with our audience who's not here at the NAM show and anywhere.
Oh, that's right.
And when black violin shows up anywhere within your community, the kind of treat you're in for. I mean, it's not just like, oh, yeah, I got a good one. Kind of I mean, it is, it's an on your feet.
It is.
It's a celebration.
Yeah. It's a celebration.
Yeah.
It's just everything, you know. It's popular music from a violin's perspective. And it's meant to to, in the same way we were saying, it's not preachy. It's not meant to, you know, it's meant to inspire you, but it's not like supposed to be like, hey, it's like not your grandma's, you know, classical concert is the best way to think of it. So, but yeah, no, it's a definitely up on your feet type of situation.
There's a lot of people all into like this, whoop,
yeah,
whoop,
in the air.
There's a lot of whoop going on in there. You know, yep. There's just a lot of,
right.
There's
a lot of hand movements.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's smoke, there's lights, there's, you know, it's loud, Will is like.
And yet every now and then everybody gets real quiet and someone plays a little piece of like a box of cone
exactly.
or something.
Right. Exactly.
And you kind of go, right. Oh, yeah. Let's go back and do exactly. more of this.
It's a little bit of everything. Right. You know? And it's meant to educate, entertain, and inspire.
It's very, very multi-generational.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like no demographic whatsoever.
Very inclusive. Very, right. I mean, every, you know, you've got a music teacher with a class and a family and a church
right.
group. And mm-hmm. it's.
Right.
Yep. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you listen to, you're at home listening to Mahler or you're listening to Drake. You, there's something for you. And it's.
And boy, doesn't we, our world need those connective.
It really does.
Tissues.
It really does.
It
and,
does.
And we're just, you know, lucky and blessed that we're able to do this and that it's still working. Like when I was telling the kids outside, it's like I look down every show and I looked at them like, wow, I can't believe I'm still playing this instrument that I learned in middle school. You know, it's just this, everyone takes a class, they play clarinet or flute or you sing or something. And because of, you know, that education and the music education we got, you know, we've realized this amazing dream and have the best job in the world, you know, and it's just truly a blessing. And sometimes I have to pinch myself. To make
well,
sure
you're
that
giving you're giving a real blessing to the world through your music.
Thank you.
You truly are. And just and your friendship to NAMM. And like I said, we want to be part a planet that you make sure you touch.
We love it here. You know, it felt like home. Yeah. You know, when we walked in, it's like the home got a remodel and it's even better than it was.
It's a little bigger.
It is bigger.
And we're not in the Noah's Ark on the plaza. In the rain.
Yes,
so
sure.
So any final thoughts to share with us? Well, so we know, send off.
Well, you know, just to speak to the kids, because like, you know, what we do in our concert, we always leave a moment to speak to kids. And, you know, the most important thing about what we're going to do and what we do and what you're going to see tonight is just that we're thinking about something that's been around here for hundreds of years. And we're just thinking about it in a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we like to leave every situation, every stage, every interview with a challenge to the kids or anyone that's listening or watching is just, you know, try to think about things in a different perspective. And, you know, what can you do that no one's seen before? You know, how can you, you know, try to pioneer something and do something different? And better yet, how can you do that while being true to yourself and really fulfilling your own passion? So we'll leave everyone with that challenge about how to think outside the box and break stereotypes and do something that you love.
Yeah, same. And also, we're on tour right now, Impossible Tour. So we're definitely at a city near you. So
yeah, wherever you're
check
at.
And where their blackviolin.com.
Blackviolin.net. It's a really long, intimidating list of shows.
But there's
like
a schedule.
There's a schedule. The first, I think we have 60 or 70 shows already listed.
Tickets are available.
Wherever you're at.
And iTunes for the albums.
Of course.
And it's
iTunes,
everything.
YouTube.
Just,
wherever you guys get your music from, we're there.
Yeah, just go and experiencing them and you'll never forget it and you'll be a fan and you'll want to keep having them come back talk to you. And they're just sweet guys, both dads, producing a lot of beautiful kids the last couple of years too. So you know, they decided to have their own chamber orchestra.
It's getting large, becoming larger, this chamber orchestra.
So thank you so much, Black Violin, and thanks to all of you for joining us for Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Namm. That's Mary L-N-A-M-M.